This is Lasserre Bradley, Jr., welcoming you to another broadcast of the Baptist Bible Hour.
Loving me ere I knew him, calling with voice so sweet, burdens of life I brought him, knelt at his wounded feet. Not from that love can say,
today we bring you the second portion of a message entitled Breakfast with Jesus. There's just something about that title I like. Think of it, these disciples having breakfast with Jesus. shows that Jesus was caring for them in a difficult time and invited them to come and dine. We hope the message will be a blessing to you today. And then the third thing we would look at is the provision of Jesus. This is another display of the fact that Jesus cares. We've seen that repeatedly in this study of the Gospel of John. Jesus cares. Jesus cared about the sick. He laid his healing hand on the sick and even the dead and raised them up. Jesus cared about the Samaritan woman when she was at Jacob's well. He went out of his way on a path that he would not usually have chosen because he was going to meet this woman, a woman rejected by others because of her life. But Jesus came to call sinners. Jesus cared for his disciples as they often were confused. They often made terrible mistakes, but he cared for them. He cared for the hungry. He fed the multitudes. On and on the list could go to point out that Jesus cares. And here is another great example of it. He knew that these disciples had been out there all night. They were no doubt tired. They were hungry. And so Jesus has a fire already burning and fish that he is preparing for them to eat as they come upon the shore. I think of the psalmist who says, "For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust." That's a consolation, isn't it? Sometimes we can become frustrated with ourselves and say, "Lord, why can't I accomplish more? I want to do more. I want to do better. I want to serve thee effectively. But I seem always to be behind. I seem never to be able to catch up with what I know really is important." And while it should never excuse indifference or laziness, it is still a comfort to know that God himself recognizes our frame. We are but dust. And then Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11 says, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young." A shepherd is depicted in the scriptures as one who cared greatly for his sheep, going over the mountains and across the desert plains to find that one that was lost and wandering, picking it up, laying it on his shoulder, carrying it safely back home, guiding them into green pastures, leading them beside the still waters, feeding them as they were hungry. And so here he says, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd, shall gather the lambs with his arm." If you're one of his children, you're a lamb in his flock. And according to the prophetic reference, Jesus would deal gently and tenderly with his sheep. How good to know Jesus cares. You may reach times of depression or discouragement where you feel nobody cares. You have a dreadful sense of loneliness. But to be able to know at all times he cares makes such a tremendous difference. Jesus considers our physical needs. Now, some people become health fanatics, and that's mainly what they are concerned about. They focus on diet. They are concerned about things of that sort, and there's a place for that. But they forget the importance of that which is spiritual, because they're thinking only about the physical. But there's a place for balance, and Jesus had things in proper balance. In Mark 6:31, He says unto them, come ye yourselves apart unto a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. So at a time when the disciples were being pressed by the multitudes, the crowds were so great, they had no leisure time. In fact, there were times they did not have opportunity even to eat. Jesus says, come apart and rest for a time. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 31, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. He knows your situation. He knows that you need something to eat. He knows that you need a roof over your head. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Spurgeon said, much had to be said and done, but they must first have breakfast. They were to be questioned, rebuked, instructed, commissioned, warned, but they must first be fed. End of quote. Jesus knew their need physically. He knew the weakness of human beings and the fact that this was something that could not be overlooked. Sometimes in a counseling situation, I've had to ask people, tell me about your eating habits. Tell me, how many hours sleep do you get at night? And it became evident that their failure to live a disciplined life in that regard was contributing at least to their problem. That they did not eat correctly. They got very little sleep. The Lord made us in such a way that we have to have food to eat and we have to have adequate sleep. And if we rob ourselves of that, we are not respecting the temple of the Holy Spirit, our body, which he has given us and for which we should care. Jesus had a lot to say to these disciples. As Spurgeon puts it, they were going to be questioned and rebuked and instructed and commissioned and warned, but he wasn't going to do all that on an empty stomach. He fed them first. And I think there's something to be said for that from a physical standpoint and spiritually as well. Pastor knows that if his congregation needs to be rebuked, he doesn't rebuke them unless he first feeds them. When they have fed on the gospel, fed on the good news concerning Jesus Christ and him crucified, they then will be in much better a frame of mind to receive whatever instruction and rebuke may be necessary. And what Jesus provided them was miraculously produced. Now remember, this is before they brought their fish in. Jesus already was preparing fish for them. Where did the grill, the fire, come from? Where did the fish come from? Obviously, they were produced by Jesus. And we don't have to be so astounded at that when we remember that during his ministry, he fed on one occasion 5,000 and on another occasion 4,000. They had but loaves and fishes, and Jesus multiplied them. I thought that had to be an exciting event for those disciples. Jesus said, put them in companies of 50 each. Take your baskets, go down the line, pass it out. They're passing out fish, passing out fish, passing out bread. Are we going to run out? We got 5,000 people here. How are we going to feed them all? All we got is this little boy's lunch. But they got through one group of 50 and their basket's still full and they keep going and they keep passing it out. How exciting! As Jesus performs this great miracle before their very eyes. This one not so large in number, but significant nevertheless, that when they arrive on the shore, Jesus is preparing breakfast. The fire is burning. The fish are cooking. He's preparing to feed them. And it's a reminder of the provision that God so often makes for us. We may not see the way of it. We're at the end of ourselves. We're not sure how we're going to get along. But He has told us not to worry. Each day's problems will take care of themselves, and not to fret about the future. And the fact that there was fire burning and fish already that He was preparing reveals that the Lord is not restricted to the labors of His servants. He may well use them. He later received the fish that they had caught and welcomed them in. But without them, He was also able to provide the fish that was needed for their breakfast. And He sets an example for us to follow. Matthew chapter 10, verse 40. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Jesus showed hospitality. Jesus provided for these on this occasion. Romans 12:13 says, distributing to the necessity of saints given to hospitality. Sad to say in our day that there doesn't seem to be as much of that as there was some years ago. People are busy. They've got many obligations. They're caught up in their own activities. But in times gone by, people frequently visited in each other's homes and invited friends in for meals and times of fellowship. When I read this, I thought about the hospitality that I have received. For over 65 years, traveling among churches all over the country, I have visited in hundreds of homes. And I'm sure in my younger days, I took some of that for granted. I didn't realize how hard some of those women had worked in the kitchen to prepare that special meal. One nice thing about those old days, people thought when the preacher's coming, we got to really have a big meal. And I mean, some of them were spectacular. Just taking a little bit of all of it was amazing, just tasty and wonderful, and the fellowship was great. But I thought how many sacrifices some of them made, how hard they worked to prepare that special meal and to show hospitality with great kindness and love and affection. It draws you to one another when you have that kind of fellowship. Well, Jesus not only provided for these, but He set an example for us. And then the fourth thing we consider is the welcome of Jesus. He says, come and dine. As the resurrected Savior, He is still loving and compassionate. The disciples are invited to draw near. They first were at a distance, and maybe because it was still early morning, for whatever reason, they did not recognize Him at first. It was John who was the first one to know this is Jesus. And they really had the desire, even as they got closer, just to confirm it and say, are you really Jesus? But down in their hearts, they knew it was. But there was something magnificent about Him in His resurrected form that obviously differed from the situation when He had traveled with them during His ministry. But He invites them to draw near. Come and dine. That word, come, is warm. Somebody knocks on your door. You say, come on in. It's a warm reception. I want you to come in here. I want to visit with you. I'm glad you're here. And Jesus says, come and dine. It's a reminder of those beautiful words of Matthew 11:28, when he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me. Some further words from Mr. Spurgeon. Is it not wonderful that the Holy Lord should have communion with his faulty followers? Yet he will breakfast with us who have doubted him as Thomas did, with us who have denied him as Peter did, with us who forsook him and fled as all the rest did. He, always sinless, was now without physical necessities. He had risen from the dead, and he did not need to eat. Yet did he still have familiar fellowship with sinful men. On one occasion, he ate a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb, and I suppose that on this occasion he also ate with them, for one does not ask others to come and dine and then refrain from eating. Come along, you child of God. Conscious of your gross unworthiness, come, for he invites you now to feast with himself. End of quote. Come and dine. Jesus' words to the church at Laodicea were this: if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. If you today, as a follower of Jesus Christ, maybe have been guilty of some of the sins enumerated regarding that church, becoming self-sufficient and self-righteous, but you've seen the error of your way, you've been convicted of it, and you come humbly today to admit, I deserve nothing. I do not deserve communion with Jesus. I do not deserve breakfast with Jesus. But he says, come, I will come to him and sup with him. I wonder, in our busy rush, how many of us miss what could be a marvelous beginning of the day, a time of spiritual uplift, if we indeed had breakfast with Jesus now. You say, well, obviously we can't have breakfast with him like these disciples did. They were in his presence, the resurrected Savior. But we have fellowship and communion with him. If we start the day thinking about all of our troubles, frustrated about the problems of the day before, we're starting on the wrong note. But think about it. When you begin your day, I want to have breakfast with Jesus like these disciples did. I want to have my mind focused on him. I want to think about his goodness. I want to be thankful for his mercies. I want to acknowledge his grace. I want the whole day to be a day of walking with Jesus. I want to have the kind of testimony that when others observe me, they might say, as they did of the apostles in the early church, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Breakfast with Jesus. And to you who have never come to Jesus, may this be the day that you come. Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. You might say, I know I have friends who are Christians, and obviously I have a close walk with the Lord. I see others at times come forward and confess their faith in Christ, and I wish I could do that. But I have my doubts. I question myself. I see my unworthiness. I ask you the question. Are you hungry? Come and dine. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. If you have that appetite, it's divine grace that's bestowed it upon you. Come to Jesus. If you're thirsty, he says, come and drink. Come and dine. Today we brought you the second and final portion of a message, Breakfast with Jesus. If you'd like to get the complete message on CD, request it when writing us at the Baptist Bible Hour, Box 17037, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45217. I look forward to hearing from you, and until we greet you next time, this is Lasair Bradley Jr. bidding you goodbye, and may God bless you.
Blessed assurance. Salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, rain from above. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect salvation, all is at rest. Savior, I'm happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his good.